Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome along to another episode of Red Tinted Glasses. We are live. It's Monday night on the YouTube channel as ever. Welcome along if you're listening on audio as well later on Catch Up. Joining me in the co-host seat tonight, making his second appearance of the season, Jay Moyer. Jay, delighted to have you back on the podcast. How are you doing?
Delighted to be back, Glenn. Thanks very much for having us.
I know you're itching always to come on the podcast, unlike someone who seems to be, well, it's not a go at Calum, actually. I was going to try and make a joke about nobody seeming to come into the Aberdeen dugout, as of course the search for an Aberdeen manager continues. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have some news on that this week. Not saying we know anything, just assuming that there might be a decision. We'll speak about that towards the end of the show, I think, Jay. But of course, on this episode, we look back on yet another drab encounter in West Lothian as the Dons, for a second time this season, draw 0-0. And then we'll preview the visit of Dundee this weekend, weather permitting. Well, actually, it's up at Tawdry, so we shouldn't have any problems with a pitch.
Hopefully not.
Just seeing how many fans I can upset in the opening 90 seconds of this episode. But Jay, you were down at Livingston at the weekend. It was an unchanged 11 that started the game from our previous outing. Me and Phil on the previous episode kind of discussed about the possibility of Dante Polvara or Duke maybe getting minutes from the start in this game. That wasn't the case. Were you surprised to not see any changes? Happy to see the same starting lineup?
I expected Povara to come in, so that was a surprise that he didn't. I suppose you could argue it was a winning team, but the performance against Ross County was terrible. But then again, you know, as I say, winning team, so you don't want to change it. But I would have certainly put Povara in. So I thought he changed the game last week when he came on. So it was really surprised to see the same team, but you can also understand why he's done that, you know, because they won the last game. So, yeah.
I think he's trying to show faith in the side that, obviously, as you said, got that big result against Ross County, and we're looking to build on that. But Ewan's going to hate me because I'm not even 3 minutes into the podcast. I'm going to mention the pitch, but whether it's the pitch, I don't know, I know a few folk have maybe said it. Try to think of the right wording. Desire, right now, and kind of awareness.
Yeah.
About the fact that we're still potentially looking over our shoulders at this moment. I really don't know what it is just now for Aberdeen, but, well, I think Paul Donaldson makes a good point because, of course, the weather wasn't exactly great, and we saw the Edinburgh City game abandoned not long in. But as I said, Jay, you were there. How bad was the weather conditions as well, and how much do you think they played a part?
It was really weird because, like, one minute it'd be sunny, then it was raining, then it was windy. So you were getting all the elements, really. It was really strange, but it wasn't the best sort of elements to play football in. But I still think I can't use it as much as I would like to. I can't really see it as an excuse for Aberdeen. I mean, we were just absolutely terrible.
And I think the good thing about that was, as I remember to put my laptop charger on before it dies very quickly, that Leaven came out and said that it applies to both teams. We can't use that as an excuse. Because it applies to both teams, and we didn't really cope with the conditions, or I guess neither team really did, because, you know, I was watching it at home and it was quite a tough watch.
Yeah, I mean, it was just the basics of football just went out the window. You know, there was barely any, all the sort of passes were going out of play. Experienced players like Hoylett that's played at a very high level, just dribbling out of play, just, you know, out of nowhere, under no pressure, really. Mm-hmm. Just nothing really happening in the game. Not even a lot of shots on goal. No sort of keeper really having saves to make, apart from Miowski being through one-on-one early on. That was about it, really. It was someone behind me said it had sort of a end of a season feel to it, and it was right enough. It sort of felt as if they were going through the motions, but they just couldn't put two passes together.
And I was listening to the Talk Livy preview, and you know, both Ewan and Angus very much kind of the feeling that it's another game closer to the end of the season, both not holding out much hope. And I'm sure those that maybe listened to their review will be surprised probably by how encouraged they were at the fact that they got a point, because both were predicting a defeat going into the game. But I think, you know, that Miowski chance you mentioned there in the first half was the only kind of real chance of note that I remember from the first half, really, kind of from the whole game, apart from the end. You expect Miowski to score that one, don't you?
You do. Earlier in the season, I think he takes that. I think maybe he's gone through a bit of a spell without scoring. I know he scored last week. You know, it was probably the most fortunate goal in the world, but they all count. But early in the season, I think he puts that away. It's just really alarming, the performance, you know, because if the players do care and they do want to stay, and the new manager or whoever's going to watch that, I mean, if I was the new manager watching that, I wouldn't keep any of them, to be honest with you.
I think what also frustrates me as well, and kind of going back to the previous episode as well, where, you know, Phil was speaking about kind of continuing the momentum and trying to keep that winning feeling going ahead of the semi-final coming up in a couple of weeks. You'd have thought some of the players that kind of underperformed, let's call it, on Saturday, you know, John Smith, you know, highlighting Connor Barron checking out months ago and leaving, continuing to persist with him. You'd have thought these sort of players would have been, you know, looking to continue a high performance level, to stake a claim for a match that basically is what our season's got left to play for. And I guess kind of on that flip point of what John's saying about the fact that leaving persists with him, maybe lulls a couple of players into that sense of security that, well, he's not going to drop me. You know, it doesn't matter if I play good or bad, I'm still going to start the next week. So could a start for Dante Polvara or Duke, because again, I think John's highlighted, or certainly there's been a few folk have highlighted Junior Hoylett in the performance, dropping them, would that incentivize them to raise their game if they were brought on as a substitute, and give Peter Leaven some questions ahead of that Dundee game coming up at the weekend and then going into the Celtic game? I think the comment from Graham here about the pitch being too fast after the rain and the wind making it unplayable, I think is very acceptable, although I think the ball through for Miowski from, I think it was Hoylett actually that played him through, was exceptional. But yeah, I was pretty disappointed that Boyan couldn't find the back of the net. But probably just kind of summing up his recent run and our season, really, with a glaring opportunity missed.
Yeah, I mean, we're speaking about the same things almost every week as fans. You know, it's difficult to know what the players think as well, you know, because they're probably thinking, like, I'm going to get a move in the summer. You know, my agent will get me a move. You wonder, you know, long gone are the days where you kind of have to play well to get a move. You know, agents know people, they've got connections, and you sometimes wonder, you know, are players really that bothered now? You know, I keep going back to it, but you watch us on Saturday. I mean, we somehow just managed to get worse. I don't know how we do it.
I think, though, for the game of the weekend, Graham actually makes a follow-up point as well, which I can't believe I forgot to put in the notes, because I think we saw the Livingston physio on the pitch more than we did the ball in play. And I don't know, as I said, for me watching at home, it was frustrating. I'm sure for you as a match day going fan, that must have been extremely excruciating, because it seemed that every 90 seconds of play we got about 5 minutes of stoppage. That first half in particular was so stop-start. Yeah. It created no momentum. You know, Graham Gibbs saying it, you know, commenting on the Livingston players breaking up the momentum with constant play acting. I think a couple of them were a bit more serious than play acting, but it was certainly the Livy physio earned their keep in that first 45. I think in total, I think it was well over 10 minutes of stoppage times across both halves, which just kind of shows how stop start that overall game was at the weekend.
Yeah, in the first half, like you said, it got to the point. I remember one occasion where I think it was when Yenge got kicked in the face or something. Mm. He went down, then literally he got up. That was another 5 minutes. And then literally within 20 seconds, the other boy had gone down. He was back on for another 5 minutes. And it was a carry on in the first half. You know, whether they were play acting, I don't know. But it was really frustrating. Because as somebody said, you know, you couldn't get any momentum going. But even on momentum, like, there was just no signs that they were going to create anything. I mean, they've got this awful style of play where, I know, you know, Barron was poor, the midfield was poor, but, you know, I've said it for weeks, the midfield, they've got nobody to hit. You know, there's nobody making a run. There's nobody, you know, showing for the ball. They're getting the ball and we're so narrow that there's nobody to pass to. Your nearest pass is Devlin, who's, you know, probably behind. And then he's, you know, going up the wing, putting a ball in. And then 9 times out of 10, there's nobody there. It's just been the story of the season. I really don't know what it's supposed to be. Clarkson plays this weird role for me.
Yeah, I still don't really know what position he's been playing in all season.
I don't know what it's supposed to be. One minute he's at left back, right back, and then he's, you know, in front of the defenders, then he's up top where he should be, and then he's out in the wing. I know he's sort of roaming about, I get that, but for me, I would just have him in the final third, you know, trying to unlock the defence with that, the passes that we know he has in him. But yeah, it's just annoying, you know, you'll see Clarkson and he'll pick up the ball at left back or right back, and you're thinking, you know, what's he doing there for there? You know, it's just weird. I don't really understand what the style is.
Yeah, and as Gary Farker says, you know, he was at the Spaghetti had first game of the season and we were rotten. Exact same performance at the weekend with zero improvement since then.
Yeah.
Gary, that's a bit harsh because we actually managed a couple of shots on target this weekend compared to the opening day of the season, so we've improved slightly.
Yeah.
And as he said, that's the most worrying thing for him. I think, though, that kind of what Gary says and what you've just said there, Jay, as well, is quite similar. And something I kind of brought up to Phil on the last episode as well about the creativity that this team is severely lacking. And at this stage of the season, is it of huge significance when points, given kind of us looking over the shoulder in that sense, was more important? And I think, again, Saturday highlighted that. It depends which way you look at it. We've moved another point clear of Ross County after the weekend results. But again, as you rightly say, the lack of creativity and options when we're looking to move the ball forward for Bojan out in the wings is giving us lots of concern. And, you know, Kaiser saying the remaining games are a hard sell. Who's turning up for the bottom five games? It's a fair point. Once safety is confirmed, what is the attraction of attending those games? For me right now, it would be a new manager and seeing what a new manager could bring. But obviously that remains to be seen what happens on there. Peter Leaven, of course, into the second half, does try and change the game, goes back to the same subs as he did from the Ross County game with both Dante Polvara and Duke coming on. But Unlike the previous week, there was no impact from either of them, really. Duke had that one kind of opening, but couldn't get the ball out of his feet. But it was just more of the same, just a little bit of fresh legs coming on.
Yeah, I really don't know what the issue is. And you know me, I'm a big fan of Duke. But he's, you know, all season, he's he's just looked lost, isn't he? You know, he gets the ball in the season before, you know, he would be away, you know, beating players, you know, full of confidence. And this season, he's just not, he's not been at it, is he? I mean, he just, he looks like he's lost 10 yards of pace. He just looks slow and lethargic, and I just don't know what it is with him. Yeah, and even when he comes on, you just don't believe that he's going to change the game anymore. You know,
and you know, you've got the chair and the vice chair of the Duke fan club on the podcast tonight, and I think though you're right. Whether it's teams have worked him out, or whether it's he's struggling to get himself into the game, it's not that impact sub that we had in October, November when he first came into the team. Mm. And I think as well, despite what the club told us at the start of the season, the options off the bench aren't what we need. The strength and depth is severely lacking. But, you know, thank God we only have 6 more league games till the end of the season, and it's finally over.
I've never wanted a season to end so fucking soon.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't wait to the last game of the season, the final whistle. Hopefully it's a Scottish Cup final and we've won.
Well, hopefully. I know that's the thing. I remember when I put out the tweet about at the weekend saying it's one game closer to the end of the season, I was like, I've still got to remember we're 90 minutes away from a Scottish Cup final, so it's not all dead in the water, but it kind of feels like it. Given the level of performance at the weekend, Jay, you know, this podcast could be slightly different, and a lot of the mentality of the Aberdeen support could be different had, of course, the Bojan Miovski winner stood. Probably, like a lot of our decent performances this season, it would have papered over a lot of cracks had that counted. Unfortunately, it didn't. As we were kind of discussing before we came live on the episode tonight, it's another decision that took an age to come to.
Yeah.
It's probably another inconsistent decision that VAR has. What was it like for you, again, being there and the wait? Because as you said, you were singing the Miovski song, blissfully unaware that VAR was in the background checking.
Just weird, is it? Like, see, nowadays, it's just, you can't enjoy football anymore, can you? Because you're waiting for, like, VAR to just intervene and ruin it. As I say, it was weird because it wasn't sudden. We were, you know, everybody, well, it sounded like from where I was at the front that everybody were celebrating the goal, singing, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a minute. And then it was like 5 minutes later, it was offside. So yeah, I mean, VAR, ever since it's come in, it's never been sort of run well, has it? You know, there's controversy every week. Folks said, you know, when it first came in, folk were saying, oh, it'll stop all the nonsense, but if anything, it's made it worse.
It has, and I think the biggest thing is, you know, normally for offside, that's supposed to be factual, and you know, at the time I was watching on a stream that didn't afford me any replay, so at the time, you know, I kind of just had to accept the decision. Now, for those that are watching the podcast live tonight, or just in general here on YouTube, you'll see that we've got the still image that's been doing the rounds from Sports Scene of the decision where Angus McDonald was the player, I believe, to be adjudged to be offside as part of this move, and they've highlighted Dan Mackay from Livingston, who is the Livingston player that allegedly the lines were drawn on, not that, as Sam Gordon says, show us the lines, you shite bags, because we haven't seen the lines on Sports Scene, which makes me think, have they potentially drawn it on the wrong player? Because again, for those watching the episode tonight or have seen this still, will know what I'm talking about. Angus McDonald's highlighted, yes, but looking along the line, you've got Esther Sokler, I'm trying to remember the number, and then I believe in front of him is Miovski's definitely in front of him, and I'm trying to think who's sandwiched in between them, but you could argue you've got 4 Aberdeen players, if you're including Angus McDonald in this, all offside. For me, Angus McDonald is kind of being unmarked. So for him, if he was offside, is offside, onside. It's really difficult to tell. Probably shouldn't be because you can see so far along the line. The three in the middle, you see it all the time at free kicks. They line up offside, and before the ball's played, the defenders fall back and play them all onside. But I think it's just, it's scarcely believable that we've not been showing the lines over the course of this weekend. Why not? You know, and it does bring out the conspiracy theorist in you that there has been a dodgy decision. And as Kaiser says, from the angle that we've got on screen, McDonald looks onside. So, you know, simply drawing the lines would clear all that up. You know, I've got no qualms that Esther, Boyan, and as I said, whoever is that, squashed in between them. You know, I think that's fair to say those three are offside, but the angle makes it look onside as well. And, you know, and as I said to you and Rankin from the Talk Livy podcast, had there been on a grass pitch, it might have been easier to read from the lines on the grass as well. A plastic pitch makes it a lot more difficult, but we can't blame the pitch for everything. But look, you know, you could go over each decision that's done us in, with VAR, that's refereeing decision that's gone against us. But, you know, if we forensically or deep dived into every decision, you'd sound like a Rangers da. You know, at the end of the day, Jay, we are where we are, probably based on merit. You know, this team has significantly underperformed over the course of the season. We can't, you know, cry or blame VAR or bad refereeing for us being where we are in the league and us having, well, certainly in the league, such a poor season. The players ultimately haven't performed, the managerial or coaching hopes haven't reached the expectations that the board had. And for the budget that they were given and the money that we've spent, we've significantly underachieved. And I think underachieved is fair to say, even though, you know, we're in one semi-final, reached a final, that reaching that League Cup final meant fuck all given the level of performance that we were awarded within that final for me. It hurts on that. But I just hope that for next season, because let's be honest, VAR is still going to be here next season, that there's an improvement to it in the sense that there's kind of a stricter kind of guideline. I saw a few people saying that, you know, if it takes that sort of length on time to overturn the on-field decision, the benefit of the doubt should be given to the decision on field. Would there be any sort of changes you would like to see for VAR other than binning it, of course?
Well, I don't know. I get why VAR is there, right? To get the correct decision, supposedly. But I just feel it just takes the fun out of going to football. You know, you're now waiting for people sitting in a room or whatever to allow you to enjoy the game. Do you know what I mean? They're dictating. I mean, you could eventually, what's the point in the referee? Because the referee doesn't really make a decision now. You know, it's the people watching it on the screens. It's just rubbish for me. I don't like it at all. You know, if you got a bad decision against you when there was no VAR, you know, everybody was hungry or whatever, but that was football, you know, and you went to the pub with your pals afterwards, or, you know, speaking to your pals, that's what you had to moan about. You know, you all had a big discussion around the table. You were, you know, shouting and swearing at each other and debating. That was part of it, going to the football.
Absolutely. And, you know, Sam Gordon backing up what you say about VAR sucking the life out of the stadium genuinely makes him question why he bothers. And Graham Gibb, you know, is kind of going back to the point I said about what's the point in looking at each decision, because he's as far as won as many points as we've lost over the course of the season. As a spectator, it's rubbish. Go back to clear and obvious, stop re-refereeing games. And it's that last point that I completely agree on, because I feel certainly in Scottish football right now, most of our games are not just Aberdeen games, but games in Scottish football in general are being re-refereed. VAR is looking for reasons to disallow goals. They're looking for stuff through the finest of of Toothcombs, and it doesn't need to be that way. For those that maybe listen to various podcasts or watch various podcasts, Behind the Whistles is a podcast done by former referees of Scottish football. And if you want to catch up on their latest episode, about 7 minutes 20 into their most recent episode, they discuss what we've just been discussing in terms of the Angus MacDonald Miolski goal being disallowed at the weekend, and why for the life of them they can't understand that no lines were shown. And you know, they're making life harder for themselves, they're making life harder for referees by not doing something so simple as showing the lines or re-refereeing it. You know, you've made such a perfect point, Jay, in the sense that controversial decisions were a part and parcel of football. They were a talking point post-match, they were a talking point pre-match ahead of the next weekend. Your opinion, Jay, is totally different from my opinion and anybody listening and anybody watching it. But that also means the way you view an incident is different from me and from anybody else listening and watching. Yeah. And this is also affecting football, because the way one referee sees a penalty is different from the way another referee sees it. And I mean, you just need to take a look at Connor Goldson giving away a penalty in the Old Firm game yesterday. It was the exact same as what happened at Ibrox when we played them, and that didn't get looked at. So swings and roundabouts are happening, but Sam Gordon says our game needs to be properly refereed in the first place before it can be re-refereed, which is a very valid valid point. But
I mean, with VAR, it's almost like every week, it's like they have to make a decision based on VAR. You know, it's almost like, oh, we need to look at this to make, like, if you look, as a few pundits have said, if you look hard enough for something, you'll see it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's almost like they've got to have made some form of decision every week. And it's just getting a carry on. I mean, even if it's like even when you're waiting for a decision for the other team, you're waiting so long. You'd rather just, like, if the other team are getting a penalty, just give them a penalty.
Yeah, just get on with it, yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to wait 10 minutes to look at the same replay 400 times.
One other point before we move on, because, like I said, I don't want to spend too much time going over a subject that we could speak about forever, and it's not going to change. Paul Donaldson asking, should the club come out and make a statement about the lines not being shown during the VAR decision? Now, look, you know, interesting, because I was going to make the point about and ask you the question, do you feel the club should be coming out and publicly commenting on that decision at the weekend? You know, there's other decisions that we could publicly have come out on over the course of the season. I know that certainly the one in the League Cup final where Duke got fouled in injury time, the club privately spoke to the SFA and asked kind of why that wasn't referred to VAR, or the referee wasn't asked. Graham saying, please don't let the club come out with a statement, leave that to Ibrox. But we've seen it from Hibs, of course, in the game at Pittodrie as well, where they've come out and raised concerns about VAR. Stuart Kettlewell was very public in the media as well. Are you happy that the club are not going about their business publicly, or would you rather they come out and spoke about some of the injustices that us as fans have felt this season?
I'd rather we went about it privately. I think if you start doing publicly, I think the SFA will just come down on you. Do you know what I mean? And like you said earlier, okay, you've got to get the right decision, and we were kind of, you know, robbed, if you want to use that word. But at the same time, we weren't good enough. Do you know what I mean? And okay, we've got the ball in the back of the net, fine. But, you know, don't leave it up to officials to get you a result. Mm. Win the game. You know what I mean? We've got more than enough quality on that pitch to win games of football. And I've never been one for, oh, referee was this and referee was that. If, you know what you need to do to win a game of football, and we didn't do enough. I mean, that save for the Livingston keeper, for Miolski, that was the only one he had to make the whole game. You know, we're just not good enough. And I don't want us to start, you know, playing the victim card. Okay, it was probably a dodgy decision, but just win the game. I know it's easy for us to say, but We just don't do enough. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not a big fan of this blaming referees and oh, we were robbed and all that. I hate all that, to be honest with you. I just want us to play good football and win. You know?
I can't really argue with that, Jay. I think it's a perfect summary. Kaiser agrees with you on that, and I'm sure that many watching and listening will also agree with you. So
yeah, I mean, I think there was many times on Saturday where, you know, we could have easily had a shot on a goal. And for whatever reason, it's another pass to the side, another cross in the box. You know, have a shot. How many times do you watch Celtic and Rangers have a shot, deflection, in? Do you know what I mean? You just never know unless you try your luck. And sometimes I just, we're so, honestly, didn't I get me started? we're so annoyed. Like, we're really annoying to watch.
Well, hopefully when Dundee come to town this weekend, we're not as annoying to watch. So Dundee are the visitors to Pittodrie this weekend. Jay, coming with manager of the month for March, Tony Doherty. They do or are scheduled to play Rangers on Wednesday night at Dens Park, but with a yellow weather warning set to hit most of Scotland on Tuesday, that game remains in doubt. And I wonder how the SFA look at scheduling the games, if that game is, of course, not on. From an Aberdeen point of view, of course, looking at the league, and for those looking up the league, of course, it remains a dead rubber, because with Hibs and Motherwell playing each other at the weekend, our top six hopes are dead and buried. For those looking over their shoulders, could argue that we still need to be looking at picking up points to avoid that 11th place finish. What's your opinion on the game this weekend? Does it feel a bit of a dead rubber this weekend? Because for me, it very much does. I mean, I think the only thing I was looking forward to was, I know the guys from the Orkney Supporters Club are coming down for the game and was going to be catching up with them pre-match. And I've certainly met a few folk from Shetland doing this and in general, and they can fair drink. So it'll be interesting to see if folk from Orkney can drink just as much as Shetland.
For me, it's felt like a dead rubber for months, to be honest. just win the game. Just play well and win the game. That's all you can ask. I'd like to see Sockler getting a shot, a proper shot. Don't know what he's got to do to get a game. And maybe even a few of the youngsters coming in. You know, you read about the young team doing well. There must be a few good wingers in that team that could come in, and you know, now that we're sort of finished, are we really? Again, it wouldn't happen, but you know, I'd like to maybe see a couple of them. I just win the game. I kind of see us playing great football. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we kind of just throw in the towel now. You know, we need to make sure that we're still getting results, but. It's really difficult to be up for any game these days, especially now after the result of the weekend.
Yeah, as PGL Tuna says, or Jack McKenzie, as those that are regular watchers of this podcast will believe he is, says we still need to win one more game. This isn't done yet. Although I think he's trying to throw me off the scent, because there was a comment from PGL Tuna a bit further down that said that McKenzie needs dropped. So. Maybe just try to throw us off the scent there. But I was going to pose you a question, Jay, and it kind of comes on to the back of what PGL Tune is saying about we still need one more to win one more game. Pedros making the comment saying that every game is important until we are totally safe and building confidence for the semi-final. Now, with the semi-final in mind, you've just mentioned, of course, maybe giving Esther Sokler minutes. If you're Peter Leaven, do you rest players going into this Dundee game with one eye on that semi-final and obviously the chance of reaching a Scottish Cup final? Or is that 3 points in the league still hugely significant with safety still not mathematically secured?
Do you know what? I'd be amazed if those players are needing a rest. they've not done much of the... No, I'd go be our strongest team. Don't need a good side. Good young players. Again, you're looking at every game. this season, and we don't feel like favourites.
No.
I just go with your strongest team, because you know anything can happen in football. We start losing games, and before you know it, there's a shock result somewhere, and you know we're right back into the danger zone. So I wouldn't be resting players, but we've not really got a lot of options, as you say, on the bench either. I mean, who comes in really? I mean, you know, Sockler, maybe likes obviously Sockler, Pavara, even Milne could get but I would just like to see us play our, this sounds funny, but strongest team and hopefully get a result. But I just, on about building confidence and that for the semi, but I just like, I don't know, even if we were to win 3-0 at the semi, I just don't trust this team anymore. I've never actually had such a, I don't want to use the word hatred, but I just despise this team. I think it's more
the frustration. I think hatred and despise is quite strong. But as you know, everyone's entitled their own opinion. I think for me, it's the frustration at how much this team has underperformed mm-hmm. this season. You know, and it goes back to that argument that many people will have or continue to have about how good this squad is or how good this squad should be and what the reason behind our underachievement this year has been.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the point about, you know, kind of needing to win this game, a lot of people saying, you know, we need 3 points, we need 6 points. Kaiser pointing out that County are 7 points behind us. For me, it's really eight with the goal difference. And they host Rangers this weekend, a team mm-hmm. they've yet to beat, I think it is, in the Premiership. So, you know, this weekend could prove to be a huge in the sense that win that game and we're virtually, you know, kind of two wins really away from being safe. But again, that depends on the way that the post-split fixtures work out. It could be that, you know, our first post-split game is against County and that's what sorts out. Mm-hmm. So probably we are looking at 6 points to be mathematically secure from the playoffs, in my opinion, just because I struggle to see where County are making up that difference. I think, you know, me and Phil spoke about St Johnstone on the last episode. That was a huge win for them against Hibs. Some people panicking, thinking that dragged us back into it. But, you know, the fact that we got that point at the weekend to continue moving away from Ross County for me was just equally as important. I'm not panicking on the fact that St Johnstone beat Hibs. They always perform well at Easter Road. So, I'm not panicking yet anyway. I think, you know, Sam Gordon pointing out about Dundee being a tidy team, I think they still show a lot of frailties, unlike the person he probably learned off in Derek McInnes. Actually, no, maybe he probably did learn this because he hasn't quite mastered shutting out games.
No.
As he was prime example this weekend, as Dundee blew a 2-0 lead over Motherwell to succumb to a 3-2 defeat, which kind of has livened up this top six race between Dundee, Motherwell and Hibs. So dependent on the game going ahead midweek or the result, Dundee could be coming north knowing they must take 3 points to guarantee top six. A draw would be enough dependent on results elsewhere. Do you think that the significance of the pressure, I guess, being on Dundee for this game plays into our hands?
No, is my immediate thought. When I watch Aberdeen just now, they seem to have a 5-minute spell at the start where you think, oh, we're all right today. And then all of a sudden, you can just see, as soon as the opposition gets an ounce of confidence, you can just see us going further and further into our shell. And I don't know what causes that or if it's just an accumulative thing with results over the season that have created this aura and this mentality of, you know, we're not up to this. I don't know. It's as you said, it's not a hatred or a a despise. It is more of a frustration. You know, I think we know that they're good players. The likes of Clarkson and McGrath. You know, even Devlin, you know, we've seen it. They're good players. But for whatever reason, unless we get off that like a flying start, the longer the game goes on, you can just see the confidence drain out of them. And I don't know what causes that. But I think the pressure will be on us just as much as Dundee. I think Dundee will be up for it if they do need to win. And yeah, it's obvious, but it really is a 50-50 for me on Saturday.
I think the pressure is more on Dundee than it is us, given that what is riding on the game for them. Because I think a lot of people within Scottish football would expect, as I said, if the game goes ahead midweek, for them not to take anything from that game at Dens Park, which puts all the pressure on the game for them at Pittodrie. And I think as much pressure that will be on Dundee, for me, I'm looking for, from an Aberdeen point of view, players to kind of step up and say, I want to be starting that game next week at Hampden, not into this kind of lull of, well, I'm guaranteed a start anyway, it doesn't matter. Although you do wonder as well, when it comes to maybe that nitty-gritty 50-50 challenge, do a couple of the players potentially pull out, protecting themselves for the semi-final coming up a week on Saturday.
And that's
why I would be, personally, would be tempted to make a couple of changes. I mean, I would personally be happy with Esther Sokler starting, giving Bojan a wee rest. You know, bring him on for the last half hour. Don't you know, keep him in cold storage for the whole game. Would again probably looking in that midfield for me. Connor Barron's the obvious selection, pretty much copying what Phil said last week at dropping for Dante Polvara. Could we see Angus McDonald coming back in for one of Jensen and Gartenman? But again, it goes back to the point about the strength and depth. We're only really looking at two or three areas where we could make changes. Otherwise, you're then going into a territory where the team probably does feel weaker. But we are where we are.
It really is difficult. I mean, I think, as you say, I mean, naturally players want to play in the big games. I get that. But, you know, when you're about players pulling out of challenges and like, I just think they've got a cheek to be protecting themselves when they've given nothing all season. And I know naturally they want to, as I just said, you know, be on the big stage and play the big games. And I almost guarantee you that they'll all turn up that day and put on a good performance, and it'll be like a brand new team. Yeah, as you say, you know, the depth. I mean, there's no one before, you know, in previous years where Aberdeen teams, you'd have quite a, you know, a good bench. And now for the last couple of years, we've just seemed to just, it's like bare minimum. You know, remember we signed that what was his name for Blackburn? The guy on loan?
Mark Handy,
yeah. Like, you know, we never really saw him. He was just, don't really know what he came in for. It was a weird one. We've not really seen Phillips again.
And I guess looking ahead to the weekend as well, Graham Gibb asking if Ruby's back on Saturday. I've not heard anything. I guess that'll be an interesting one to see from Peter Leaven's pre-match press conference, because that would probably be the sort of game where you're looking to bring him in if, you know, we're looking to utilise him in the semi-final. Because, again, for me, the type of injury that he's had, I don't really want him being thrown in at the deep end for that semi-final. But I guess those are the kind of the things that we can look out for over the course of the week, Jay, because right now it's guessing the starting 11 that's probably the most exciting thing between games just now, because, as I said, the games really haven't lived up to the hype. But it's just a shame that going into this weekend with the race for the top six as such, that we're not there. We're taking part in the game, but it means nothing to us. We're going to have a say, I guess, one way or another on the outcome. It's just hugely frustrating. That seemed to be the buzzword of this show, buzzword of the season, actually.
Yeah.
And I feel like Barry Robson, how many times I've probably used it on the podcast.
Just about to say that was his buzzword.
But look, that's where we are. Let's just hope that there's a bit more kind of positivity and uplifting spirits that we can produce on the podcast next week, as of course we'll look back on events from Pittodrie at the weekend and ahead to that trip to Hampden for the upcoming Scottish Cup semi-final. But Jay, thank you very much for your input over the course of the 45 minutes of the show tonight, and for ably helping out on the podcast once again.
No problem at all. Cheers very much, Glenn. Thank you.
And thank you very much to all of you that have tuned in with us here live on YouTube tonight, or caught up on video or audio. Remember to leave a like on the video, subscribe, leave a review, follow where you are listening. Thanks very much. Until next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.